In the last programme in our series marking Radio Prague's 80th birthday, we heard recordings of Czechs and Slovaks fighting in the British Armed Forces during World War II. This week, our tour of the radio archives brings us forward to the heady days immediately after the war. It's May 1945, Czechoslovakia has been liberated, and Czechs and Slovaks who fought in the Allied Armed Forces are returning home. One recording evokes this moment vividly. It's a dramatised reading of a letter written by a Czech soldier to an English girl at some point shortly after he has returned to his home country, still in his British Army uniform. More from David Vaughan.
The recording was made at the BBC headquarters in London, presumably in the late spring or early summer of 1945, just weeks after the end of the war. The format of a personal letter gives the broadcast an informal, almost intimate tone. We're not told whether the letter is authentic, but my guess would be that it's made up from the impressions of several Czech and Slovak soldiers as they return to their homeland, put together in a single fictional letter and read by actors. As we hear towards the end of the recording, the letter also expresses some strong views on the future of Europe.
It was in the dark days of early 1942 that I met Gustav, the first Czech boy I've ever known.
The recording opens with the voice of Mary, the English girl to whom the letter is addressed. She speaks in the clipped English so typical in Britain at the time.
I still remember vividly that party when he asked me to dance with him. To my surprise, he could express himself quite well in English, and I felt a little ashamed that I couldn't even say one word in Czech. We very soon became the best of friends. And thanks to him, I began to see other countries through different eyes, particularly, of course, Czechoslovakia. Now I have one great wish. Some day to accept his invitation and go and see Czechoslovakia for myself. For he has already invited me.
Basically, this recording is about how a Czech soldier met an English girl, and they're both very fond of each other, and he's writing to her after Czechoslovakia is liberated.
Two of my journalism students from the Anglo-American University, Catherine Wetterman and Owen Burt, chose to look at this recording as part of their course on the history of journalism.
Yeah, they met in 1942 in a party in Britain while the Czechoslovak army were over in Britain in exile. They started exchanging letters while he was going around Europe, and this letter is after the liberation of Czechoslovakia, and he's just saying what's gone on and how happy the Czechs were to see him and how thankful he is of the British.
Listen to the first letter he sent me from his liberated homeland.
Dear Mary, your letter has been delivered to me in Czechoslovakia, and please forgive me if I did not answer immediately. But you will understand that I had to search for my folks, and therefore had no time to waste. Soon after my landing in France, I somehow lost all contact with you. Three or four letters of mine were returned to me, and I thought, please forgive me once more, that you have become a V1 or V2 victim. I was therefore very, very glad to hear that my old pal is still very much alive. We went from Dunkirk through Luxembourg, lovely devastated Germany, to Czechoslovakia, where the Yanks and the Russians had the situation already well under control. But as long as I live, I shall never forget the welcome in all the villages and small towns we had to pass. And the Czechs simply went mad to see after all those dreadful years their own chaps, equipped with the most modern weapons, gay and happy and gum-chewing, instead of looking through closed windows at Fritz's Czech boots. Then we had to parade through Prague. Another day in my life I will not forget and cannot describe. Speaking in true Churchill fashion, I must say that never before have so few been hugged and kissed by so many. It made up for all the sad, unhappy days which are behind us now.
At this point, Gustav mentions the Czechoslovak president, Edvard Beneš, who had spent the war in exile in Britain. When he left Czechoslovakia in October 1938, after the humiliation of the Munich Agreement, he had been seen as a failure, unable to stop Hitler annexing the Sudetenland. But now, with Czechoslovakia on the side of the victors, his popularity was immense.
And amidst the madly cheering crowd was the great man who alone made this miracle come true. He carried our father Masaryk's ideas and ideals to England and brought them back again, purer and lovelier than ever before. Yes, Dr. Benesch, we call him our great boss, has also had the day of his lifetime, and we love and admire him just as he loved and admired the great human heart, old man Masaryk.
He also talks a little bit about the concentration camps and how his family was in the concentration camps and he lost a lot of family members, but his brother survived. And he talks about how they were mentally fit after it, which was an interesting fact.
Now my family. Another miracle. I did find my brother and his wife, both returned from different concentration camps, one liberated by the Yanks, the other by the Russians. Both are physically not too bad, but mentally are 100% fit, which is more than I could expect. My old father died in the arms of John, my brother, in the concentration camp. The rest of my relatives has been slaughtered.
Listening to this recording all those years later that hasn't been heard for a couple of generations, did you find it worthwhile? Did you find it moving in a sense?
I definitely found it very moving, especially after he talks about losing family members. There's a really long pause in the recording, and I think that was done for a dramatic effect, but it definitely made you think, and it was really sad.
Yeah, I noticed the pause after him talking about his family as well, and I actually found it really interesting because I'm a British person in Czech Republic, so it was kind of interesting to see what the relationship was like back then as well. So yeah, it's quite weird that it hasn't been listened to for that long, but yeah, I found it really interesting.
When I got home, or what used to be my home, the whole district went busy to find John, and within 2 hours we were reunited. My brother knew all the time that I'm in the army, and he was sure that one day we shall meet again. I am unable to tell you how nice everybody was. John took me around and presented proudly his brother, the Englishman. It was ever so nice to come home to. Now about England. Everybody wants to know about you. They admire and love you for everything and have a deep and sincere admiration for this grand and happy breed. The few thousand Czechs who have had the honor to fight side by side with Tommy Atkins are the best ambassadors England's ever had, and all day long you could see them explaining to large groups of news-hungry civilians that your king is a democrat, how you love and fight for you and others' freedom, about Winston, public sweetheart number one even over there, about the raids, V1 and V2, your National Fire Service and Home Guard, your grand civilians, the hospitality and cheerfulness, that you had no onions, no eggs, that you still have no stockings, and that you are still very short of food because you have to share it with millions of hungry people. How the Battle of Britain has been won, how the merchant navy did wonders, and so on.
At this point, we get a hint of how Czech views of Britain changed with the war. Before the war, and reinforced by what was seen as the betrayal of the Munich Agreement, Britain had been perceived as a country of golf-playing Englishmen, as Gustav puts it, somewhat aloof and snobbish.
Forever has the golf-playing Englishman gone off the minds of our people, and now they know what you really are like. You must be very proud to be an English girl. Dear Mary, I can't write too nicely in English, and it is very hard to express my present thoughts. But can you somehow tell everybody how thankful we are for everything you have done for us, and that we will never forget the way you have adopted our small army?
I asked my students, Catherine and Owen, about the seemingly natural and spontaneous form that the broadcast takes as a personal letter.
Well, I definitely thought that it was recorded by people that were hired to record it. It wasn't the actual people that wrote the letters, because the fact that they lived in separate countries, just it wouldn't have made sense that they would be in the same country, really, in recording this.
I think it was crafted. It wasn't clear in the recording of if it was the real people or not, but I did hint upon the fact that it probably was some people that were hired to talk about it, to make pro-propaganda about Britain and anti-propaganda about Germany, because he talks a lot about the horrible things that the Germans did in Prague, such as nailing children to the front doors of their Muslims' houses and ripping apart the pregnant bellies of women and things like that.
The section in which Gustav talks about German atrocities is interesting in the context of the debates of the time. Gustav refers to the British diplomat Lord Van Sittart, who believed that Germany could not be reformed and should not be allowed to rebuild itself with the end of hostilities. President Benesch was of much the same opinion and felt justified in expelling the German-speaking minority from Czechoslovakia.
Will you also please tell everybody that the Germans have, while fighting for their very life at Prague, nailed little kids on the doors of their mothers' houses, have ripped wide open pregnant women's bellies, have thrown hundreds of dead, mutilated bodies in a hole and used this place for their lavatory? That is for those who don't believe Lord Van Sittart. The German has shown his real soul. Don't let him camouflage it again.
The fact that the broadcast makes such an unambiguous and overtly political argument for keeping Germany weak and dependent in the wake of the war is intriguing, given that the recording was produced in London at the BBC, when Britain too was divided over its policy towards Germany, and many politicians were deeply concerned at the prospect of mass expulsions of German civilians from Czechoslovakia, Poland and the Soviet Union. The sensitivity of the topic may also explain the format of a personal letter, enabling the speaker to express strong opinions in a less formal context. The expulsion of Germans from Czechoslovakia went ahead, and it remains a sensitive issue to this day. In the long run, fears that a revival of Germany would inevitably lead to a new destabilisation of Europe proved ill-founded, and today the Czech Republic and Germany enjoy better relations than at any time in the past.